Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. We are the show that explores the possibility that ancient civilizations may have been correct in their belief that history moves in a great cycle with high ages of enlightenment and low ages of darkness. My name's Walter Crutton and I'm here along with co-host Jeff Patino, and we are exploring the myth, the folklore, the archaeology, the astronomy, the psychology of this cyclical theory. And we examine its causes, including stellar influences. Both Jeff and I work at the Binary Research Institute in Newport Beach, California, and we're essentially an archaeoastronomy think tank. And it's there that we do our research into the binary theory, into ancient cultures. And we've come across this fairly prevalent idea that our sun may have a partner star, and it is our motion around this other star that indirectly produces a change in consciousness and the cycles of history that Plato called the Great Year. And almost every ancient culture seemed to have a belief or folklore about this cycle, and recently we've been finding more and more scientific evidence that indicates it might be true. So wouldn't that be nice to learn that the ancients weren't just telling fairy tales, that there is some actual basis in fact behind these great tales?
It would be, and I think we're getting closer to that every day. And hi, I'm Jeff Patino, and thanks again for joining us. If at any point during the show you'd like more information about the Binary Research Institute or Walter's book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, please visit our website at www.binaryresearchinstitute.org.
Today we'll be talking with a very interesting guest. We've not had the chance to meet personally, but I have read her book, her latest book, which is called PSI Science. And it's really pronounced science, but it starts with the initials PSI. It's by Marie D. Jones, and Jeff here will give a little introduction.
Yeah, Marie has been involved with the paranormal in one way or another for most of her life, which led to a fascination with quantum physics and the writing of her new book, Science, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena. Marie is also a New Thought and metaphysics minister and spiritual counselor. She holds a master's degree in metaphysical studies, goddess traditions, mythology, and comparative religions. And she also worked as a field investigator for MUFON in Los Angeles and San Diego during the 1980s and 90s.
One thing that's interesting about Marie's work is that she has managed to blend just a wide number of facts about science, about paranormal phenomena, about ancient cultures, and bring it all into a coherent book. And so we'll be talking with Marie here about how she came to put this book together, some of her conclusions, and
yeah, and one of the things I enjoyed about it is she approaches all of the subjects very objectively as well, from on the paranormal side, like UFO research, parapsychology, and then even getting into quantum physics. It's all taken very much for what it is, and approached in a very scientific and founded way.
And why we're interested in this work, and why we have physicists on this show so often, or at our conference, the Conference on Precession and Ancient Knowledge, is if we are really going to understand what life was like in the higher ages, then we really need to understand what life is like right now. And we're doing that slowly through our development in philosophy and psychology, religion, of course. But it seems like some of the physicists, even those on the very leading edge, the quantum physicists, are almost leading the way there and showing us that this physical reality is not so physical after all.
Right, because ultimately it all comes down to what is our connection to the universe? How interrelated is everything, especially in terms of the idea of the great year cycle and the binary? How can things that are distant from us and cosmic, in a sense, really affect us on an everyday level?
And to understand that question, we need to understand reality and consciousness, and that's what we'll be getting into today with Marie right after we come back from our break. You have been listening to Cosmic Influence, and we will be right back.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
The weather looks like it could get nasty. Let's put out the tent.
I didn't bring it, did you?
No tent here.
Flashlight?
Emergencies are no joke. Don't get caught unprepared.
Munchies?
Get an emergency kit. Make a plan. Communicate and stay informed.
Hi, I'm Janae Bonner. My husband, Congressman Joe Bonner, and I urge you and your family to be ready for any emergency. Find out how at ready.gov.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Mystic Pop didn't mean to burst your bubble, but the new age is over.
Come into the now age and find the latest and greatest in spirituality, mind, body, and soul with Mystic Pop magazine.
Every full-color issue is bursting with enlightened interviews, features, and current reviews of your favorite now age authors, musicians, artists, and more. Step out of the old world new age and into the now with Mystic Pop magazine. Ask for it at your local bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, and many independent stores.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden.
And I'm Jeff Pitino.
And we are here today to talk with Marie D. Jones. Marie, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for joining us. I've just been fascinated with your book. As I was mentioning, you cover more material in a shorter period of time than just about any author I've ever read.
And I hope that's a compliment.
It is. In this busy day and age, you know, I just want to get to the meat. So you've done a great job there.
Well, thank you.
So Marie, let's start off with the basic. What is science in the P-S-I-E-N-C-E spelling?
Well, other than being a real clever title, it really combines the world of psi, which at one point meant psychic ability, but recently it's been used more as sort of an umbrella term for the paranormal. And so it's really the science of the paranormal, and just a real clever word that can combine these two seemingly unrelated worlds. That, you know, I want to present information that shows that they indeed are related.
Well, it might make it a little harder for people to find the book in Barnes & Noble.
Exactly.
But it is a clever name. And once again, the name of the book, it's spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E and pronounced science. I was interested in your little quips and stories about your childhood and just life in general, and it sounds like your father really helped get you interested in some of these things, or you had some sort of a natural inclination there. And I'm curious, as you look back on your life, how did you get interested in the paranormal to begin with?
To tell you the truth, I grew up with a scientist father. He's a geophysicist. But to tell you the truth, I have to blame my mother for getting me into the paranormal end of things, because she was always a real open-minded, imaginative, and she still is, and she's still alive, creative person. And I got the best of both worlds from a very early age. I got the scientific angle, and I also got this other real creative kind of metaphysical angle. And I couldn't even pinpoint a time in my childhood when I started to be aware of things like ghosts and UFOs. All I know is I started reading at age 2, and from that point on, I read, books like they were going out of style, and I just developed this real attraction to the unknown, and it stuck with me throughout my life. So I would say it started, very early with just a love of reading and an imaginative mother and a scientific father.
You'd mentioned UFOs, and that's not something we usually talk about too much on the show, just because there's other shows that really get into that. But I thought your views of possible UFOs were very interesting, in that you were not sort of limiting the perception to, some physical craft necessarily coming down here, but to just something that intuitively feels better. And can you explain that?
And what's real interesting is that this has always been discussed in the field of ufology, but it was always kind of under the table. Well, in the last few years, more and more people who have an interest in UFOs and who do research are opening themselves to the possibility that UFOs are not only maybe interdimensional craft, but craft or entities that we are somehow creating with our own consciousness, that have some kind of maybe archetypal or mythological symbolism and an importance to us on a very deep consciousness level. And what's really interesting is that when you start to look at some of the sightings that are being reported, they almost have dimensions to them that speak of a connection with the person doing the observing. And, we go back to quantum physics, where the observer can affect the outcome of an experiment at the quantum level. And you start thinking, well, what's going on here? Are UFOs more than just nuts and bolts craft that are visiting us from Zeta Reticuli? It seems like there might be something going on in our own mass consciousness that creates the manifestation of things like UFOs, entities, grays, aliens, what have you. During the 50s, we had the fairies in Britain that people were seeing. And now we have the grays through the 60s and the 90s, and what is that going to manifest into for the next 100 years or so? So there seems to be some relationship to our own consciousness going on with some UFO sightings. I wouldn't necessarily say all of them.
I think that's a great point of view. And if you had to try to explain it, what is it that is going on? Why are... Do people see these things and explain it the way they do nowadays?
This is my personal point of view, although there are people in the field that agree. We have a need. We have a collective need at certain points throughout history to manifest maybe a race of aliens that are going to come down to Earth and save us. And when we have a lot of fear and anxiety, we often... we'll think of them as, a race that might come down and destroy us. But I see that as our consciousness is kind of going through this great awakening that everybody is talking about, that you guys are talking about, we seem to have a need. It's almost a primal need to have a savior. And maybe those aliens are a mythological entity that we are projecting that need onto.
Or maybe it's a way that, or something that people can relate to when they can't necessarily relate to an avatar or some other.
Absolutely, because you do have people that rely on religious figures for that savior, that savior entity. Of course, we've got people expecting Jesus to come back, and people looking for avatars. But I think that there are a lot of people that look beyond our own planet.
And as you point out, we're not saying that avatars don't exist or that beings from other planets don't exist, but that the channel to make contact might be as much in our own consciousness
Absolutely.
As it is through outward phenomena.
And that is a very interesting point that you bring up, because thinking back to most religions throughout history, they always have an element of a savior either coming or a point of salvation being achieved, whether it be through attainment of nirvana and meditation or through a physical being like a Christ figure. Or
exactly. And what's interesting with UFOs is when you have people who have claimed to have been abducted or you have contactees, a lot of times what they talk about is that they received a vision of the future and warning of what that future will look like if we don't shape up. And that, to me, really lends itself to something going on in the mass consciousness of humanity.
Right. Same thing I've noticed with near-death experiences.
Yes.
It might not be just a vision of the future for the whole world, but for that person personally, and they
exactly.
realize they need to live their life in a different way, and
exactly.
it has a profound effect, yeah.
And one thing I've noticed, too, is that it kind of goes in waves, and if you look at what's going on the outside, where you have certain things going on with, you know, war and terrorism and real fear-based elements in your environment, you know, we have two different kinds of saviors. We have one that's going to come and punish us, and then we have one that's going to come and save us, and they're outside of ourselves.
Sort of the larger selves, and that gets to this whole idea of what reality is, but since we don't have an answer for that right now, we'll wait for later in the show.
Yeah. So before we get really, really deep into the heavy stuff, just to give our listeners some more background, so how did you come upon deciding to write this book and really merge quantum physics and the paranormal?
Well, you know, there were books coming out and things happening, the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. I'm the kind of person that if I get really excited about something, I have to share it with others. And I knew that I wanted to write about some of the links that I was seeing myself and that I was hearing other people talk about. And I wanted to do it in a way that was going to be really accessible to people that don't have any scientific background, don't know what quantum physics is, or they've vaguely heard of it. So I really felt this. You know, I felt compelled to present all of this exciting information for the lay people.
And you do a good job there. It's just very easy to read, and you know, a lot of these subjects, we just want to know what it's about without getting into tremendous amount of footnotes and things like that.
Exactly. I hate footnotes. Ah.
So you do a fine job.
Yeah, and getting back to the idea of consciousness manifesting, like some of the UFO encounters and stuff. You also bring up that same topic in terms of ghosts and spectral images, in the sense of they could be somehow connected to consciousness, and as well as things like telekinesis. And
I think it's all connected to consciousness, and I think that's ultimately what the book concludes. And that, to me, is the most exciting thing. Because if you don't find anything personal in all of this stuff, it's really like, well, what's the point? Yay, quantum physics and the paranormal. Okay, but what does that mean for me? And I think the fact that our consciousness is so directly linked to what we're perceiving as reality makes it personal and it makes it important.
I totally agree, and I can tell that was sort of one of your main points of the book. But you had to go through sort of the history of some of the UFO stuff, sort of some of the background of the quantum discoveries, some of the things going on in the field of consciousness studies to make that point, and you did a great job at it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I mean, as I was reading that too, one of the things that really struck me is with my research into like mythology, even like Hopi mythology, which speaks of, in the Golden Age, people were able to communicate without speaking, and
right.
and had some of the abilities that we now consider paranormal, to see that there is, in what we're discovering in the quantum world, a possible connection and a possible truth that these things, if they're controlled by consciousness and connected to consciousness, could actually be things that will develop on a larger scale and in more people as we continue to grow.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, I've been working on another book, as I'm sure you are, Marie. Once you write one, you can't stop, and I know she's written quite a number. And I'm trying to describe the character of the higher ages and how that relates to some of the phenomena we're discovering now. And,
right.
And really getting fascinated with these pre-Babel era myths and folklore about telepathy and clairvoyance way back when.
I think this stuff has been around forever. None of it is new as of yesterday. We're just now discovering all of these things. But if you look at ancient cultures and mythology, they knew this stuff. They just used different words. They used a different way to communicate their knowledge. And that's really exciting.
They
to know
sure
that, you know, cultures have been aware of this stuff for centuries, and that makes it more real than, you know, if you said, gee, this is just something that came up yesterday. Before then, it didn't exist.
Right. It makes it more real, and yet so much of the myth and folklore is discounted as just sort of fairy tale gibberish, even though it somehow managed to stick around for thousands
yeah.
and thousands
well,
of years.
You're right. I think it's discounted by people who don't understand the power of language to convey truth and reality.
That's true. Yeah. And that's why this understanding it from a scientific basis is important. And I think that's why your book is a valuable one and why it caught our attention here.
Well, I think we have to admit that most people are left brain. So if you can present stuff in a manner that they'll say, okay, I got that. Fine.
Good.
Whatever works.
Well, we're going to get into some of the left brain and right brain stuff here a little bit more. But
first, we have to take a break. And you're listening to The Cosmic Influence with Walter Crutenden, and I'm Jeff Pitino, and our guest, Marie Jones. We'll be back in a moment.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crutenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crutenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crutenden here with Jeff Pitino.
How are you?
And we've got our special guest today, Marie D. Jones, the author of Science, spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E. And Marie, we were talking about left brain, right brain, and you've done some fascinating research into some of the physics behind this paranormal phenomena, and we'd like to get into that a little bit. So take us down the wormhole, if you will, and and what's going on behind this reality that makes paranormal phenomena real?
Well, what's interesting is that when quantum physics looks at reality at the level of the most minute, and the behavior that we see there is very bizarre. It can almost be described as paranormal itself. But what it does is that some of the most basic theories, and I'll go through a few of them, but they lend themselves to explaining, possibly, things like UFOs and ghosts and our ability to connect with others on a psychic level, and even things like a Bermuda Triangle or an area on the planet where things can slip into another dimension or parallel universe. And just the most fundamental theories like non-locality, Bell's theorem of non-locality. Particles that are connected on a they're connected on a level beyond time and space. Okay? There's this web of connectedness that underlies all things. Entanglement. Particles that are once in contact with each other can continue to remain in contact even at vast distances of time and space, and they can affect each other instantaneously.
That's actually when I was in high school, the thing that got me really interested in physics.
Yeah, that's a mind blower.
it was when I learned about quantum entanglement, and I was like, wait, you mean you can separate these things by billions, these quarks by billions of miles, and if you do something to one, it will affect the other instantaneously.
Faster than light speed.
Yeah, it defies all laws of physics, yet it's a very real phenomena, and that just blew me away.
Yeah, and it's one of the fundamental theories of quantum physics. And you cannot talk about something like entanglement without getting very metaphysical, because it just lends itself to, you know, just opening up this whole world of possibilities. If our particles are connected in that way, well, that means we are. We are as human beings, as bodies. And then you have wave-particle duality. This is a real mind-blower. That at the quantum level, particles are not really particles, they're both particles and waves, and they don't become a fixed position particle until an observer comes along and does what we call collapses the wave function. I mean, that's mind-blowing. That means that everything exists in this sort of state of superposition until an observer comes along and observes it as being a specific fixed thing, like a door or a chair or a computer.
Yeah, I find that fits very well with some of the myth and folklore and biblical statements about, in the beginning was the Word, everything is vibration, its
exactly.
Own. I mean, that just sounds like a simple explanation of string theory, doesn't it?
It does, and the fact that you had, I mean, whether you believe in God or not, I think everybody can agree that there is some kind of creative force in the universe that's and beyond, that is observing things into existence.
No question.
From that superposition of states. And it's just so fascinating. Those are just the basic theories. I mean, we're not even getting into the more theoretical physics of wormholes and parallel universes and multiple dimensions. We're just talking the most fundamental elements of quantum physics and how amazing they are, even if you don't try to apply them to things like the paranormal.
I've noticed in the book, especially towards the back, you had mentioned a few of your own experiences here.
Yes.
And I was wondering if it was some of these things that were driving your interest. For example, I think, I can't recall what page it is on, but you had sort of a, well, not just a deja vu experience, but a sort of a feeling of oneness with everything in your room.
A meditation that I was doing. I don't meditate right now because I have a six-year-old son.
No excuse.
Sure, parents can relate to that. But I used to meditate all the time, and I was in a very deep meditation, and I opened my eyes in the middle of it, which I would never do. I don't know why I opened my eyes. And I saw everything in the room that I was in as different vibrational frequencies of light. A more dense object obviously vibrated at a lower frequency, and the window was just going crazy with higher levels of vibration. And it faded after maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, and everything became what it was. And I had talked to my dad, my scientist dad, earlier that morning, and he had said, you know, everything is basically light and frequency and vibration, so that thought had to have been in my head. Well, it was only later when I was reading more about quantum physics that I found out about this wave-particle duality, and collapsing the wave function. And I thought to myself, I'll be darned, did I somehow see everything in my room in a superposition of states before I consciously collapsed the wave function and put everything in its place? Did I get a glimpse of what reality looks like before you observe it? Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but that really stuck with me. enough to really get me into this stuff heavily.
I think you did, and you know, a lot of people have had similar experiences. Some you pointed out in your book, like Paramahansa Yogananda.
Right, yeah.
But others too, and they, well, you might have related to it as a pre-collapsing of the wave moment. You know, others would relate to it in terms of religious jargon or something like that.
Exactly, and it's all semantics. I mean, we all just have a different language to describe that amazing feeling of interconnectedness and oneness.
Right. Another experience you had mentioned in the book is right before the Northridge earthquake, which that was, what, maybe 20 years ago now.
Yeah, oh boy.
And it sounds like you and your husband, you had quite a premonition. You were both talking about it. And
we did. You know, it's funny because I can still in my mind see us driving down the road and looking at the Verdugo Hills in Burbank, and both of us just thinking the light is not right. Something is that we just felt off. And then, of course, we had two cats, and they were going crazy, and we were used to that behavior from other earthquakes. But we felt something. And, you know, a lot of scientists will tell you that there are harmonics and changes in the electromagnetic field and this, that, and the other thing. And I believe that we, if we're open, we can be sensitive to those changes. We may not be able to pinpoint and say, yeah, there's going to be an earthquake tomorrow. But I think we can feel that there's something off before a big event like that.
I hear you. Well, we have a big event coming up here. We have a short commercial break. And you are listening to Cosmic Influence. We will be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttendon is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttendon's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
ByRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of ByRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttendon.
I'm Jeff Pitino. And we are here today with Marie D. Jones, author of Science, spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E. It's a fascinating book. And also, Marie, you're going to be speaking at the CPAC conference coming up in at UC San Diego this October.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you there this year. This will be our fourth year, and each year we have more and more speakers that sort of paint this picture of reality that's a little different than we're taught in school. And
exactly.
We often open up with Graham Hancock or Robert Schock. This year looks like we're going to have Boval with us, Peter Kingsley, a great a Greek scholar, and they'll paint this picture that ancient civilizations were much more advanced than we were taught in school, and ancient peoples were much more comfortable speaking of some of these concepts that we're talking about. And then we sort of segue into the science behind this. And that's where you'll really come in, and so we look forward to your comments on that.
Well, I tell you, I'm honored to be speaking with. I'm going to be more excited to hear the other speakers. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we just have a lot of fun. I understand too. You're working on another book too that has something to do with ancient history. Was it a supervolcano?
Yeah, we're just finishing it up. It's due out the end of August, and it's called Supervolcano, the Catastrophic Event That Changed the Course of Human History. And we're going to cover all the supervolcano stuff, but we're focusing on the Toba supervolcano that erupted 74,000 years ago in Sumatra. And we're going to talk about how it created a population bottleneck that almost drove our species to extinction, and genetic evidence that shows that every single one of us alive today is related to a survivor of Toba.
Most interesting. You know, a lot of this myth and folklore about these cycles, the great year that Plato refers to, often say that, you know, history is punctuated by these cataclysms. So
yeah, exactly.
The cycles are an effective way of sort of measuring periods of human history. And no doubt these things happen now and then because we lose a lot of our past.
Right.
And so I look forward to reading that.
Marie, I know in your book you speak about being influenced by Lynn McTaggart's work.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And you start talking about the zero-point field, which I find to be a fascinating subject. I wonder if you could go into that a little bit.
I read, actually, Dr. Wayne Dyer, I read his book, The Power of Intention, and he mentioned Lynn's book, The Field, The Quest for the Secret Force in the Universe, so I rushed out and got it, and I was just so blown away. I had not heard anything about this zero-point field before, and I highly recommend her book to anybody who's interested in any of this stuff. But basically, what it described is this sort of literal sea of energy that we're swimming in. You know, we're like fish in an ocean. We don't even really know it's there. And it's vast and huge, and it permeates every inch of what we thought was empty space. And basically, particles are, it almost is a sea of virtual particles that are popping in and out of existence. And they have this jiggle that is as close as we can get to a state of absolute zero momentum, which is why we call it the zero-point field. But what really excited me about it was not that. It was Hal Pudoff, a physicist who's very much involved in researching zero-point energy.
Oh, yeah, I know Hal through SSE.
Yeah, his description, the zero-point field is a self-regenerating grand ground state of the universe. And it can literally contain every action or event or thought of the past, present, and future. And, you know, how much does that sound like the Akashic Records of Edgar Cayce or the Book of Life of the Bible and, you know, the sort of repository of everything that people can tap into to get information, you know, which lends itself right into the psi abilities of ESP and precognition and clairvoyancy and remote viewing. So that really fascinated me just about more than anything else that I had come across in doing the research.
Right, but whereas modern science has a tough time with Akashic Records or field of consciousness.
Right.
You have some pretty interested folks that are studying the zero-point field.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's the source of endless, infinite self-regenerating energy. We've got the Department of Defense and different aerospace companies that are funding research into the more technical aspects of how can we use this to maybe, you know, fuel our homes and our rockets to other planets in the future. But at the same time, it's got just massive metaphysical implications as being the ground creative force of everything that we see and everything that has ever been.
It's that metaphor of if space is the stage upon which we act, then the zero-point field is the ground upon which the stage is built.
Exactly. It's like that most fundamental level of reality that we're all enmeshed in.
Well, it's a fun reality.
I think no, so. I mean, again, it applies itself to that interconnectedness of non-locality and entanglement, and it just sort of lends that another hand. It's another reason for us to believe that everything we do and think and feel and everything that we act upon affects everybody else around us.
Yeah. And again, to me, what is so neat about what's happening right now is that this stuff was so way out there when I was growing up that you couldn't talk about it without being considered crazy.
Exactly.
And now, you know, you mentioned scientists like Hal Puthoff,
right,
who's a fellow member at the Scientific Society of Exploration, and many others that are doing real hard research in this area.
Exactly. It's exciting. I mean, it seems like things have just opened up, and what was impermissible to talk about in the scientific community 10 years ago is now, you know, the cutting edge of what they're researching.
Right. I wonder why that was. Why has there been such a resistance to these things? Was it threatening from a religious standpoint, do you think?
Or? I think that has a lot to do with it. I think certainly we live in an atmosphere right now where science is looked upon with disdain, and maverick science even more so. But I, you know, this is a personal viewpoint, and I think you guys might agree with me. I think there's a shift in consciousness that's been going on, and that has allowed for the opening of science into more of the metaphysical and the spiritual and the, you know, ancient wisdom.
Well, it's almost like a reconvergence, because if we look back, way back into ancient history, we see where science and spirituality were essentially kind of two parts of one.
Exactly.
Well, let's get back into that reconvergence and really
right after we diverge into a break. And
you got that. You're listening to Cosmic Influence, and we'll be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Hi, welcome back to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Cruttenden, and our guest, Marie D. Jones, author of Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E, a fascinating book. Marie, you have a website as well.
Yes, and it's real easy. It's www.mariedjones.com. And I can be emailed from the website, and I answer every email.
Very promptly, if I do recall.
I try.
Good. You know, right before the break, you were talking about this reemergence that's going on. That's the term Jeff used. I think he used
right.
The term awakening. And, of course, we sort of have some of our thoughts about that. How would you describe what's going on, and why does there seem to be a shift in consciousness now?
You know, I wonder if it's cyclical, and I think it's just everybody is talking about 2012. Everybody. I mean, you've got the religious right talking about an apocalyptic event that will happen and people will be raptured. And you've got people in the consciousness field talking about this sort of quickening and grand reawakening of consciousness. Well, I can definitely say, and actually my next book after Supervolcano will look at some of the theories of what might be coming. But I feel like we're definitely in a cycle of enlightenment. I'm not sure that it's something that was predestined, or if it's an after effect of the environment that we've all been existing with. It's been very fear-based over the last few years because of terrorism, and we have a government, again, that is very shut down to science and research and open-mindedness. So it's almost like maybe a little bit of a rebellion. But at the same time, if you do look back over the last 10, 20, 30 years, you can almost see that this has been culminating. It's been pushing towards this reawakening of consciousness. A lot more people have been getting into quantum physics, metaphysics, spirituality, earth religions, and all kinds of things that are allowing them to make sort of a transition. And I think it's going to happen on a scale of mass consciousness.
Right.
Like a tipping point has been achieved.
Yeah, and from our own point of view of historical studies, you know, we believe that it is cyclical, that it is essentially an increase of light. So just as you have an increase of light during the day because the Earth spins and,
right.
and you come closer to the zenith of the sun where you get the maximum amount of electromagnetic spectrum interacting with the Earth, the magnetosphere, the ionosphere, et cetera. And just as you get this seasonal effect due to the Earth going around the sun, and the same thing when a certain angle takes place, you get the maximum amount of photons per square inch, and life seems to be at its zenith there before sort of going the other direction. So too, if we are in a greater cycle, as so many ancients hinted at, there could be an increase in a form of light, you know, I'll just mention it broadly, as some form of electromagnetic spectrum, possibly from another stellar source, that as we get closer to has this transforming effect. But
right.
unlike the day, which seemed to just, you know, warm things up, but also has many subtle effects, or the year, which is, you know, has many effects on plant life and animal life and causes things to hibernate and migrate and spawn, et cetera, et cetera. It's an even more subtle effect,
right,
but on a grander scale. And I think that is part of what's going on. And perhaps, too, it's, the fact that so many of our technologies are getting to the point where there's almost a critical mass of knowledge that's taking place that makes people question what reality is.
I think it's seeping into our consciousness on a mass scale, and again, you have that sort of tipping point where a large number of people are feeling that same thing, that same kind of pull towards transformation that's going on.
And eventually it'll tip and become exponential.
Absolutely. I think that's where we're headed in the next few years.
Right. And to compare it sort of to the cyclical analogy here of light, I like to say we're kind of reaching that point comparable to the real first day of spring when everything starts to really take off and sprout.
And grow and rise.
Yeah, recently I was up at my son's house in the state of Washington, and I arrived there on a Thursday right before the spring equinox, and he has all these trees around his house, these little saplings that they were just little buds on the trees. And when I left on a Monday, 3 days later, all those trees had leaves on them. And I just happened to hit that point in spring where everything took off.
Exactly.
And we may be reaching that point.
Right, and it has a momentum of its own that, once it takes off, it will take everybody with it.
Well, we're ready.
I am too.
Good. Tell us about, some of the other points that you bring out in your book here, especially as it relates to the consciousness of physics.
Well, the human consciousness and the observer is so critical to the outcome of an experiment at the quantum level, and even just, what we observe. We are the critical element. And one of the most interesting things that I found was the concept of resonance or synchronization of vibrational frequencies, and that when things in nature vibrate with similar patterns, or they resonate with each other.
Right, and everything, of course, has a vibration.
Exactly. And resonance allows for different types of energy to either, be created or come through where maybe there was no opening before. And there's a wonderful book by Claude Swanson, who's a physicist, called The Synchronized Universe.
Yeah, he was at CPAC last year.
Yeah. I loved his book, and I really found that to be so exciting, that just something as basic as music, when you play a chord and you play the right notes together, it makes a beautiful sound. When you play the wrong notes together, it hurts your ears. And that's basically what resonance is talking about. When things vibrate in similar frequencies, they allow for other things to happen, possibly the appearance of a ghost or the manifestation of a spectral entity that's coming from another dimension. It's almost like a door is open. When the energy, when the frequencies are off, that opening gets closed down. Nothing can seep through from another level of reality, so to speak. And so resonance is something that you find all through quantum physics. And when it happens, it allows for things, and when it doesn't happen, it shuts things down. It's almost as basic as that.
Oh, it is basic. I mean, in astrophysics, you see it. If a resonance doesn't form between planets and their moons and stars, et cetera, then those things are jettisoned. Those relationships can't hold, and so they find their own resonance in which they can exist. And I think we do that with people and environments and everything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody talks about the law of attraction, and I think that, it's a little more metaphysical when people talk about attracting their perfect job or whatever. But at its core, it's that same belief that if you can sync two different, vibrations of frequencies so that they're working together, it allows for greater things to be manifested.
Okay, well, we want to hear those greater things, but I guess we're going to have to let you tell us at CPAC because we're almost out of time.
Sounds good to me.
Marie, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a fascinating hour. And once again, Marie D. Jones, her book is Science, PSIENCE, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena. It's a fascinating read. I highly recommend it to
everyone.
This is Cosmic
Influence, and we'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino. We've just been talking with Marie D. Jones, the author of Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E, Science.
And she'll be speaking at the CPAC conference this year along with Graham Hancock, John Anthony West, Robert Schock, John Daring, and a number of other fantastic speakers. It's going to be at UC San Diego. If you'd like more information on the conference, visit our website, www.binaryresearchinstitute.org.
Right, or you can just go to CPAC online. That's CPAKonline.com. And thank you again. It's a real pleasure having so many of you tune in. We're getting more and more emails on this stuff. If there's any particular guest you would like to hear or subject in this genre that you'd like us to get into, please email us and let us know, and we'll try to cover it.
Thanks again for listening. You've been listening to The Cosmic Influence with our host, Walter Cruttenden. I'm Jeff Pitino, and bring on the higher ages.